Pete, how are you doing?
Zach, I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. I know that you are reveling in the glory of the Capitals going to the conference finals, sealing their destiny with a win over the Penguins last night.
Yeah, talk about the in hockey, the evil empire in Washington. That was the Pittsburgh Penguins, definitely a superior team in past years. But it's fun to see a Washington team finally beat that 0-13 streak. I think I texted that to you a few days ago, that between the Redskins, the Wizards, the Nationals, and the Capitals, they were 0-13 in division clenching games. So they making it to a conference championship is obviously not the end all be all, but it's a step in the right direction. So I'm feeling good. How are you feeling about your 76ers right now?
Oh man, not as good as you are about the Caps. I know we don't talk about hockey too much, but I just don't want to gloss over this accomplishment by the Capitals, because historically they've never won a Stanley Cup, right?
Nope.
They lost the Stanley Cup final in 1998. And this is the sum total of their playoff experience in the last 20 years. They lost the Stanley Cup final. In 2000, they lost the quarterfinals. In 2001, they lost the quarterfinals. In 2003, they lost the quarterfinals. In 2008, they lost the quarterfinals. In 2009, they lost the semifinals. 2010, they lost the quarterfinals. 2011, they lost the semifinals. And that was the old verbiage of, you know, first round, second round. So 2012 lost the semis, 2013 lost the quarterfinals, 2014 didn't make the playoffs, 2015 lost the second round, 2016 lost the second round, 2017 lost the second round, and 2018 they're going to the conference finals. So pretty exciting for a Washington sports fan like yourself. I know we don't talk about hockey too much, but real quick, what do you think is going to happen in the championship here? And do you think there's a real risk of you ending up having to choose in the Stanley Cup, Caps or Golden Knights?
I think there is a very legitimate chance to having a Golden Knights, Caps, Stanley Cup, which would be awesome. It'd be a little hard for me to choose, but it would be awesome. Man, the Golden Knights look unstoppable on the West Coast right now. They are actually the most fun team to watch. Obviously, my Caps are the team that I spend the most time watching, but the Golden Knights have been fantastic. We've talked about Marc-Andre Fleury a bunch of times.
We sure have.
But in terms of the Caps Lightning, I mean, that Lightning team, I don't think they've really been challenged in the playoffs this far. I think the Washington defense is going to challenge the Lightning unlike they have seen so far. I think it's going to be a 6-game series. I'm still taking my Caps just because this might finally be the year that I can honestly have a little faith in them. But it's going to be a competitive series. I think what we got to look for in this series is really the physicality. And anyone who watches hockey knows that every single game is physical. But what was so interesting for me as a Caps fan was watching the physicality of the Penguin series evolve, where the first two games were literally blood on the ice, both games, suspensions for Tom Wilson, 3 games, high hits, guys getting hurt, guys jawing at each other. To game 6 last night was honestly one of the cleanest games of hockey I've ever watched for what I think is probably the most visceral rivalry in the NHL right now between the Caps and the Penguins. There's no love lost between those two or between those two fan bases, but it was clean hockey. There were some hard checks, but you only saw one minor penalty on each side, which is insane when you think about the first 5 games of the series. So I'm really interested to see if the Capitals can continue to play clean hockey, or if they kind of start getting back to their less constructive means of just clobbering the opponent into submission, which I hope I get hockey like I got last. It was fun to watch. I mean, we love seeing fights in hockey, but there was something about, even as a Caps fan, watching some of those games, you're just thinking, man, this is not sports. This is just gladiatorial games, which are kind of fun. But at the same time, you want to see your team win the right way. Right?
Well, I'm just happy that you guys will not be facing the Bruins, because presumably, since you're not facing the Bruins, you won't have to worry about any face-licking incidents.
That was one of the most bizarre things I've seen in sports in a long time.
It was very bizarre. To our listeners who aren't sure what I'm talking about, there's a player on the Bruins named Brad Marchand, and he has a strange MO that he's started recently where he gets in the face of his opponents and literally licks their face when they get too close. So the NHL told him to stop it, knock it off, and it's very bizarre. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it in hockey.
Is he now the Lance Steele of the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is.
Hockey can't really blow on each other's ears, but
right. My goodness.
that it's we've talked about it a couple times over the past few weeks that hockey is a tough sport to kind of break into, but if you can sit down and watch a game, I think it doesn't really matter who you're watching at this point in the season. It's just a fun sport that it's fast paced, and then you get your 20-minute break so you can go get done whatever you need to do and come back for another 20 minutes. But it's fun if you can sit down. The hockey season is so long. I think they lose a lot of fans throughout the season because of it. I think it's honestly part of the same issue that the NBA has, where they're just playing so many games and they have such a long postseason. Baseball is long, but baseball only does a month of postseason. NHL and NBA go for 2+ months. But if you can dedicate the time to sit down and watch a little NHL hockey right now, I guarantee you're not going to be disappointed regardless of who you're watching.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. Well, you mentioned NBA. Let's just talk about that real quick. You asked about my Sixers.
Yeah.
They are down 3-1 to the Celtics after squeaking out a win last night. So I don't see the Sixers having the experience and the depth at this point to climb out of this 3-1 hole that they found themselves in. I mean, the Celtics are just playing lights out with, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. And they're doing all this. This is the amazing thing, and this is a testament, I think, to Stevens' coaching, is they're doing all this without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward, who obviously hasn't played the entire season. So the Celtics are really overperforming, and the Sixers are underperforming. But to a degree, I think that's expected, just given the lack of inexperience and the youth on that team. It's disappointing to see Ben Simmons turn in a one-point performance, literally 1 point. That's not a typo in the box score. That was three nights ago. So the Sixers are they're just disappointing right now. But at the same time, I'm still excited for the future. I just think the future is not now. You know, this whole playoff series we've been, or the whole playoff playoffs this year, we've been thinking maybe the Sixers could make it to the NBA Finals. But I think that's not looking realistic now, obviously. And they're just kind of coming back to earth a little bit. So it's disappointing, but at the same time, I think just being realistic, this is what we thought at the midpoint of the season too. They're good, but they're not that good yet. You know, they have the upside there in years to come, but it's just not their year right now. I think even if it was this year, even if they were stomping on the Celtics, you know, how about the Cavs? You gotta look at the Cavs, who are going to the finals now after, or the conference finals after sweeping the Raptors. And LeBron James is just looking like the best version of a playoff basketball human that we've ever seen. You know, this is peak LeBron James, like we haven't seen peak LeBron James before. And I think it's, you know, there's a legitimate question here, and I'm curious to hear what our listeners think. LeBron versus MJ. I think LeBron's playoff performance thus far this year has reignited that debate in a big way. And maybe next show we can compare all the career stats. But before we do that, I'd like to hear from the listeners, LeBron or MJ. MJ for greatest of all time. But I think, you know, it's hard to say that this is not the single greatest performance in the playoffs ever by LeBron James. And it's been exciting to watch. At the same time, I really don't want Cavs Warriors. I would love to see the Celtics continue to overperform and pull off an upset in the conference finals. I would love to see the Rockets upset the Warriors as well. And if we could get a Rocket Celtics finals, I think that'd be awesome and super exciting. But what we'll probably get, Warriors Cavs. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I agree with your overall prediction for the finals. I think the Cavs have been the most interesting team to watch this year, followed in a close second by your 76ers. But just on the Cavs real quick, I mean, remember when they were looking bad against the Pacers? Yeah. And we were all joking about how it was like LeBron versus the world, and LeBron was too old to do this, and LeBron hurt every one of us, and came back and did it. I mean, it's just, have we ever seen an athlete put a team on his shoulders like LeBron has done throughout his career, regardless if you think he's better than MJ or not? MJ had the supporting cast to continually perform in the playoffs. I mean, we look at LeBron being up and down the playoffs so often. Normally, he's down when he doesn't have a team, and it's him versus the world. But this year, it's him versus the world, and he's just done with it. I don't know if it's his swan song in Cleveland. And we can debate that if he's going
to
be back.
He's going to Philly next year. Sixers, LeBron to the but Sixers.
Trust the process, right, LeBron. But it's been interesting. But back to your Sixers, what do you think has happened to that team? Is it they seem to be playing almost tighter than they played in the past? They don't appear as loose and having as much fun as they used to. Is it just that Boston defense has adapted to them after watching the previous series? And I feel like the Sixers are getting fouled a lot more without getting the calls than we've ever seen in the past. Like, they're not getting to the free throw line. they don't appear to be really creating any kind of space. But at the same time, the Celtics are never putting the 76ers into the bonus or anything like that consistently, it feels like to me watching. What do you think has been the
issue? Yeah, I think you've highlighted the three main reasons. The first and the sort of least significant is the calls that aren't going the Sixers' way. And I'm not ever one to say that, you know, a game was lost or a series was lost because of the unfair officiating. I don't think the officiating has been unfair per se. I just think that there's always going to be some inequities in the way games are officiated, and that could just be, you know, random noise, or it could be intentional. I think it's more likely random noise, but I just think they haven't got the calls, so that affects things a little bit. Like I said, it's not breaking or making the series for them. I think the second one is the coaching performance of Brad Stevens. I mean, this guy, he's earned accolades from his own players over the past few games just for his you know, calls, his schemes in the last 10 minutes of games, and he's done a really good job with that. And then I think the third and final thing is just the inexperience of the Sixers is catching up to them. It's, you know, they're not playing as loose, I think, because they're on a bigger stage, and it's expected that when you're on a big stage like that for the first time in your career, you know, in your rookie year or second year in the leagues, that you're gonna make some mistakes on the stage. So I think we're seeing some regression to the mean, and I would say that's the single biggest thing that's affecting the Sixers right now. They're just not quite ready for that stage. But like I said, you know, I'm disappointed by the performance this year, but I'm overall optimistic because I think the upside remains for the future.
That's fair. It's interesting that what is propelling the Cavaliers right now is kind of what's undoing the
season. Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Well, we should sign off here, Pete. I wanted to keep this really short, just a quick pod to talk about your Caps and my Sixers. But we talked about basketball. We talked about hockey. What are you watching sports-wise this week?
So I am I'm really interested to watch the NL East and NL Central races right now. I think they're both kind of at a critical point. I think the AL East race, exactly as we predicted, Yankees, Red Sox, they're both playing fantastic baseball. I think it's very interesting what's happening with the Mets, how much they're coming back to earth. The Nationals are getting hot. The Braves continue to perform. And I think in the NL Central, we're about to see if the Cardinals are for real or not. For anyone who didn't see, Yadier Molina took one of the ugliest tips you'll ever see on a 102-mile-an-hour fastball to the groin, had to undergo emergency surgery, out for a month. And I don't think many people would argue with me that I think the Cardinals have been the best team out of the NL Central to this point. I think the Cubs still have a lot in the tank and a lot to start kind of playing to their potential again. But I think this is going to be kind of a make-or-break week and a half for the Cardinals to figure out if they truly belong. I mean, Yadi's getting old. He's got a great presence behind the plate. But at the same time, is this the beginning of the transition to the new Cardinals? And can they get a guy behind the plate who can hold down a okay starting pitching staff with a good bullpen? Or are they going to crumble and then kind of give way to the Brewers and the Cubs? I think it's going to be very, very interesting, specifically in the NL East and NL Central. How about you?
Yeah, I like your call. I'm going to actually go to a different division, though. You said the AL East is shaping up exactly how we thought it would, with it being a two-horse race, Yankees and Red Sox. But I think that race is really exciting, and tonight they start the first game of a three-game series against each other. And I just think this it's not an understatement to say that this series right now could actually determine the winner of the division ultimately, because I think they're going to be neck and neck all the way down the line. And these contests where they play each other and have the opportunity to make up three-game leads or three-game lags is going to be huge. The Red Sox right now have a run differential of 67 over their season. The Yankees have a 62, so very similar there. Runs scored per game, the Yankees are slightly ahead, 5.79 to 5.65. And runs allowed per game, both just under four. Their second and third order records are very, which is a, it's a statistic that Baseball Prospectus uses to basically try to take out luck from the actual winning percentage. And the Yankees and Red Sox are both right in line with each other there on second and third order. So they're not identical teams, but they're doing very identical things. And I think it's gonna be really fun to watch them go head to head, where I think we're going to see a lot of pitching sort of differentiate these teams in the series. And a lot of this is going to be nationally broadcast. So you should be able to catch it on ESPN on Wednesday night. If you're listening to this and don't have MLB.TV, but if you do, I mean, I highly recommend watching this whole series, 'cause I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. We're going to learn a lot about three divisions in the next week. I would say it's going to be fun.
You're right. Definitely. Anything else we have, Pete, before we sign off?
No, that's it. I'm on the road again. So thanks for jumping on in a little emergency
that's
pod
right.
with me. You know, I spent most of my life in the Minneapolis.
You're going
airport,
to Vegas to do some house hunting, right?
I am. We're going to go do a little search, and I'm going to do a little work on the side. And, you know, the Nationals are in San Diego, so maybe I should just skip work and hike it over to San
Diego.
Yeah,
absolutely
this
should. Yeah, I highly endorse this. All right, well, to our listeners, remember that question I asked, LeBron versus MJ? Weigh in with your thoughts. You can reach out to us in the Anchor app, or you can send us your feedback on Twitter at Third String Pod or at Zach Crippen at Pete_Laclede. And you can always find us on email as well, Zach@vernacularpodcast.com or Pete@vernacularpodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for listening to Third String Podcast. I'll tell you no matter.